And welcome again to those of you who are listening on the web for qualifying. You've timed it just nicely with just 4:45 to go before we get the qualifying underway. The news at the moment is that Alan McNish is the fastest qualifier of fastest car on the track, rather. Ryan Briscoe in second position. And Romain Dumais' teammate in third. David Brabham in fourth. Marino Franchitti in fifth. And Marino will be qualifying the 26 car, we're told, by the team. Told Jamie this morning that that wouldn't be the case. But obviously, they've changed their mind. And decided to let the young Scotsman qualify, which is great news for him. And frankly, from the way he's been driving this afternoon, could be good news for us as well, because he's been tremendously entertaining. Through goes the Autocon car with Chris McMurray at the wheel. Still 10.5 seconds off in 13th position. Top 10 now, separated by only 4 seconds. And if you remember earlier on this weekend, that was as high as 10 or 12 seconds. So we're beginning to concertina the field up a little bit. Ben Devlin in 10th place with the number 8 BK Motorsports Mazda. And that car significantly quicker than it has been for some time. And it's improving all the ways. The Luis Diaz car crosses the line and goes up the 9th position, just ahead of Ben Devlin. There's another improvement, 151.9. But I think to be front row today, it's going to be 48s or possibly even 47s, which will be the order of the day. And we still have the number 2 Audi in its paddock stall. Went in there some 15 minutes ago. And, well, whatever work is going on at the back of the car, the rear deck is being polished by a lone member of the Audi Sport North America crew. There's a couple of interested spectators watching what's going on there. Well, gentlemen, wondering how we can see them, of course. As Alan McNish, right at the end of the session, drops down to a Alan McNish drops down to 48.0. Now, let's see if we can check in with our pit lane commentators, Jamie and Jeremy. Good afternoon, you two.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
Ah, Jeremy.
Oh, jeez.
Good afternoon.
About 10 yards from your booth. Yeah,
you're working fine there, then.
Okay. We're going our way back again, then.
Thank you. So, Jeremy is on, so if Jeremy is on, Jamie must be on as well somewhere. So apologies for our technical difficulties. The good officers of Bubba Clark have come through again, who is, I think we might have to bestow the title of brilliant on, as in brilliant Bob Dawson, brilliant Bubba Clark. I think it's getting close to that, mate. I think you're ready to be beatified in such a way. All right, last minute or so of this session, as there is still work going on to Emmanuel Pirro's Audi in the paddock area. And then we'll have a short break before we get ready for qualifying for the GT cars. Let's then run down the GT positions, and starting, of course, with GT2. It's Mika Salo who is in the 62 car, but I've got a feeling it was Jamie Mello that did the 207.5 that's put it at the head of the GT2 field as McNish comes in the end of his simulated qualifying run. 208.3 for Bergmeister, some 7/10 of a second back in second place in the 45 Flying Lizards. Dirk Muller in third in the 31 Peterson White Lightning car. Remember, he is a rookie to this circuit, but not to the car, as the checkered flag is being waved in front of me. Gian Maria Bruni in the second of the Risi cars in fourth position ahead of Joey Hand in the 22 Panos. That car did have a spin and had to come back to the paddock from the back of the circuit. Top six made up by Tom Milner Jr. in the 18, the rear hull Letterman Porsche. GT1, 3.427. 0.2 of a second between Magnussen and Beretta in the 3 and 4. Freddie Lienhard down to 3.2 seconds away from the Corvette. And at the top of the field, it's Audi of McNish from Penske Porsche of Briscoe, from Penske Porsche of Dumas. And the gap's 1.3 seconds, 0.2 of a second. 0.9 of a second further back in fourth place is the 9 Highcroft Acura of David Brabham. Marino Franchitti in fourth, and he's just another couple of tenths back from Brabs. In the second of the Acuras, this one, the XM Satellite Radio Andretti Green Racing car. Sixth position, and still in the paddock area, Emmanuel Pirro's Audi, a 150.9, its best. Let's go down to Jeremy Shaw, who has a little news for us. Jeremy.
Yeah, well, the big news is the headset finally works. Because sod's law, isn't it? You get all the way back over there, about 5 yards literally from your booth, and you come on radio and say everything's working. So I had to leg it back over here again.
Well done.
And
it's me that needs the exercise, not you. You're the skinny one of the two.
Yeah, Jamie was at least with me, so I had to bring the youth along as well. But yeah, I had a little bit of an update about that number two Audi. The problem, something to do with the transmission on the car. And they're saying, at least they were saying about 20 minutes ago when I was speaking to Brad Kettler, the team manager there, he was telling me that they saw the gearbox oil temperatures were rather higher than they should be. They don't necessarily say that it is a problem, but it might be a problem. That is the transmission they are planning to use on that car for tomorrow's four-hour race. So rather than risk any undue further difficulties, they came in, they're just checking it all over, having a good look through it all, and at this moment in time, certainly they are planning on being out for qualifying with that number two car. I asked who was going to qualify it, and they said the decision on that has not yet been made. But right now, they don't think there is a major problem, and they're hoping it's just something to do with maybe a sensor or something along those lines that is giving them, they hope, a false reading on the temperature on that gearbox. But the hope is certainly that car will be back out for qualifying in, what, about half an hour or so?
Yeah, that's right. I suppose they've got the advantage, haven't they, that they've got a little bit of extra time because of the GT qualifying. At least it means that they can take that time to have a look at the car. They lost about 20 minutes, maybe a little more, of that hour-long session, and it may just be that they'll basically resign themselves to whatever settings the other car has, presuming they're sharing data. Not sure about that, but maybe just get that car set up and send it out. Do have a chance to make a couple of small adjustments in the format of qualifying for the American Le Mans Series, but it's not a huge amount of time. Do have to be pretty much sorted as of now, to be honest, as we're counting down the minutes to the qualifying session for the GT cars. And again, apologies for our problems on the internet, and but I'm just being told that we're pushing a little hard from this end, so we'll wind things in a little bit, and hopefully that will make things just a little bit better for you. Listening to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network live from the Generac 500, Road America, Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, with 26 of the world's best cars and drivers ready to do battle in two qualifying sessions, which come up first of all, of course, for the GT cars, 20 minutes for the GT cars, 10-minute break, and then 20 minutes for the prototype cars. And lots of questions to be answered. All of the drivers loving this place. And we get to say hello again to Jamie after we spoke to you. Seems like an hour ago. It was an hour ago when we spoke to you.
It was an hour ago. But you can hear me now. That's the good thing.
And more to the point, you can hear me as well. That's very good. It still looks pretty warm and humid out there.
It is still very warm and humid out here. I think it's actually getting worse.
And if I look over to my right, down towards turn 13 and 14, there is a bit of cloud coming in. Looks a bit threatening, but I'm not sure it's going to get to us in time to spoil things, to be honest, Jimmy.
I don't think that if rain hit right now that it would spoil much of anything. It's very hot out here.
So what, you're saying you'd rather have rain now, are you?
Well, that would mess up qualifying a little bit, so the rain could hold off about another hour. I think we'd be good.
Yeah, there is the Tour de Road America, of course, tonight. Thanks, Jimmy, for the Lance Armstrong Live Strong Fund. With 4 miles around the track on push bikes this evening. Let's go down to the pit lane and have a word with Jeremy Merlo, the 62 Risi Competizione 430. In fact, both of them, first and second, 62 from 61 by 0.3 of a second. And importantly, Jeremy, ahead of their major rival, Jörg Bergmeister, in the 45 Flying Lizards.
Yes, indeed. Of course, they won the first four races of the season to Jaime Melo and his teammate, ex-Formula 1 driver Mika Salo. But lately, Jamie, luck has not been on your side. So looking to bounce back strongly here at Road America.
Yeah, we had some bad luck, but I think we need to always look forward. And now we've got a good car here, and it's a very nice track. And I'm sure that we can do very well.
Yeah, tell us a little about this 4 miles here at Road America.
Well, it's my first time here, so it's a very nice track. I like very much high-speed corners, low-speed corners, a lot of different corners, so I like very much.
I'm sure everybody has been telling you good stories about this place before you came here. They lived up to expectations, has it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's a real challenge for the drivers, though, some very fast sections of this racetrack.
Exactly, and for me it's okay because I like the fast track, and I'm doing well, so I hope to have a good qualifying.
But of course, on this sort of racetrack, with all the classes together, the P1 cars are coming past you very, very quickly on this race.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But it's not very, very hard because the track is very long, so they take a little bit of time to get us, so we can drive more easy.
Easy, yeah, right. Now, so you're still to qualify the car this afternoon.
Yeah, I qualify, yeah.
And the car is working well. Clearly, the two recent competitions, you know, cars first and second in class, that's the way you like it.
Yeah, that's the way it must be. I think we work very hard for that. And especially now, the next four races, we must be very, very careful and very concentrated for the race.
That's right. They let the championship lead slip away at the last couple of races with a couple of non-finishes. And we're caught up here with his teammate, Mika Salo. And it has been Mika who's driving the car in the last part of this session. Mika in the number 62 car. Look, pretty hot and sweaty out there.
Yeah, it is quite hot, yeah, in the car, but it's okay. We have air conditioner, and I just try to lower it down a little bit to get some more power out of the engine, but it's still hot even with air conditioning in the car. But for the long run, this is like we're practicing a little bit for qualifying, just pushing a little bit harder than the race, so.
I mean, this is a pretty fit guy here. He's certainly looking pretty hot and bothered right now. But as he said, you do have air conditioning on these cars, but you can modulate that. If you feel it's robbing away too much horsepower, you can turn it down a little bit, huh?
No, it's more like if you're getting too cold, and then you can turn it down. Like in St. Petersburg, I catch a cold during a safety car because it was too cold in the car. So it's not a problem. It's just like when you get out of the car, then the heat hits you.
Because the humidity here this weekend is really high. It's got to be a real workout in these cars, Mika.
Yeah, tomorrow is even harder, but I'll better focus today, so it's going to... It's going to be a hard race, but it's okay. You can take it.
We can take it. So Mika Salo and Jaime Melo, the car number 62, the red Risi Competizione Ferrari, no doubt that would be favourite for the GT2 category tomorrow, John.
Sorry much, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw down there in the pit lane. Hello to Doug Werner, who I know is on the property this afternoon. Hopefully get a chance to meet up with you after this qualifying session, unless you can find your way across to us here. Doug, in the VIP hospitality tower, and come and say hello to us here in the broadcast booth. Jim Casey and Doug Sontag as well on the emails, studio@radiolemon.com, and we will try and answer any questions that you have. Have to apologise, and I know many of you will be joining us for the qualifying session. I have had our own technical problems back in London this week with one of our affiliates, Globecast Radio, and that led to, I think, some of you on the internet not being able to tune in for part of this week, although it didn't affect the satellite audience. That has now been fixed, and so you will be able to enjoy Globecast Radio the rest of this weekend, which includes, of course, the whole of warm-up and the race live here tomorrow from the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. The green flag has been shown over the start-finish line for GT qualifying. So, again, our apologies for that. And we have been having some line problems as well. One or two of you just mentioning the sound quality of the American Le Mans Series Radio Network at various parts of the world. Well, unfortunately, we don't have ISDN lines here at Road America, which means we're talking to you, I'm afraid, just down a very simple phone line. And the sound quality does rather suffer, I'm afraid. I hope it doesn't adversely affect your listening pleasure too much. But we will bring you, we're the only place that you can get live coverage of this race this weekend. The TV, both in Europe and America, are on tape delay. Down to the pit lane and to Dyson Porsche. Guy Smith is with Jeremy Shaw.
Indeed he is, and it's Chris Dyson as well. So the two co-drivers of the number 20 car. And the guy, just talking to you a little bit about the fact you've had some bad luck this season, particularly the last few races, it seems, but you're getting closer and closer, it would appear, to the pace of those Penske Porsches.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the results don't really reflect the hard work that we've done. Certainly, probably from Salt Lake City onwards, we've made some good improvements with the car, and certainly in terms of pace, we are definitely closing the gap to Penske. And a lot of the times, we can run in front of the Acuras, but this weekend's going to be particularly close. I've seen from the times from the last session, it's going to be tight. So I think qualifying will be very exciting.
And Chris Dyson also co-drives, of course, with Guy Smith. Who drove the car in that last session, and who will qualify, Chris?
We both drove the car the last session. Guy's going to qualify and start.
A lot of fun on this Road America racetrack.
Oh, always. It's a great. This is a great weekend. You know, it's just one of the classic venues that we come to, and you know, there's always a great crowd out here.
Now, Guy, have you had a chance to maybe compare the performance of your car to the Penske cars?
Not really. I mean, you know, I really think we're not a million miles away. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there, and of course, on a track such as Road America, as long as it is, it adds up. But you know, in the race pace in the last two races, we've been within a couple of tenths, so we know we're making some good progress, and hopefully we'll continue to keep the pressure on them this weekend.
Sure, Chris Dyson will drink to that as well, won't you, Chris?
Yeah, well, we're just trying to stay hydrated on water, and hopefully tomorrow night we can drink some other things.
Very good. Guy Smith, of course, a former Le Mans winner. Very much looking forward to qualifying this car this afternoon.
Jeremy Shaw with the crew of the number 20 Thetford Norcold Dyson RS Spider Porsche. Now, we've already lost over three minutes of this session, and no one's got a time in yet. That just tells you how long this track is. It'll be about another minute or minute and a half before the guys come through on their at the end of their first flying lap, and see who it might be who comes around first. Pick up. It looks like it's going to be the 31 Peterson White Lightning Porsche that comes round through Bill Mitchell Bend and into the final right-handed corner. Takes plenty of curb, almost all four wheels across the yellow and red curbs at the exit of the final corner here at Road America, and heading up the hill, and it's a long time before I see the headlights. There he goes, and across the line. And that, in fact, is just his warm-up lap. Oh, they're starting their runs now. And it was, that's right over the curb again. In turn one, down under the Briggs and Stratton Bridge, turning hard right-handed. And the 31 car with Dirk Müller on board is trying very hard indeed behind him. It's one of the racing cars. I think it's the 62 car behind him. Headlights ablaze on all of these cars as the rest of the field now beginning to cycle through. Olivier Beretta and Jan Magnussen have gone through 201.5, 201.1. Beretta and Magnussen 4 and 3 in that order. As we now see the first of the GT2 times, and in fact, I must have been looking at the very back of that GT field as they went out, because it's Tom Milner Jr. with a 209.3. In the 18 car, 71 is Robin Liddell in second place, just 0.7 of a second behind. GT2, 2 or 7.3. So time to find, yet a couple of seconds to find. I wonder if the GT2s will find that. Well, we know the Ferraris are quick. The 61 car just being passed by one of the Corvettes. Stays with it through the twisty bit though, under the snap on Tills Bridge. And Joey Hand in fourth position, Farnbacher in third. And Joey was about to speak to us before he dashed off to do qualifying. But Jamie managed to have a word with him. What are they looking for this weekend out of that 22 car from the Pinos pit, Jamie?
Well, of course, Don, they'd like to win. They're always pretty optimistic they can get at least P4 coming out of qualifying. If they can stay within the top five, they'd be happy.
That's not a bad run for them if they can get that. We haven't, of course, seen Bill Oberlin, have we, Jeremy? Because he's busy elsewhere.
Yes, indeed he is. Bill Oberlin driving at Watkins Glen tonight, actually, in a race there, the Rolex Sports Car race. So he'll be here tomorrow. So Joey Hand, I think I was spoke to him during the week, actually, Andrew, at lunchtime, and he was pretty much looking forward to having more seat time in this car than he usually has, because it generally gets monopolised by Bill Oberlin. And as you were talking about earlier on, they're getting a chance this weekend to run the number 22 car instead of the 21 car. And they've had slightly different setups, systems, let's say, on those cars through the season. And as you said, the last couple of races run the number 21 car. Now they're taking an opportunity to try out that number 22 car. And really, it might not be a direct back-to-back comparison, but at least they can probably learn a little bit from trying those two different cars.
And these racing drivers just love to get the seat time down towards turn number 5 then for the number 3 GT1, which is of course Jan Magnussen this afternoon, and he has the upper hand at the moment by less than a tenth of a second over Olivier Beretta, his teammate. No sure yet by the 27 Maserati, and that car is trying as Magnussen climbs the curbs through turn number 8 through Harry Downs already. Under the snap on Bridges, he begins to commit to that long, long right-hander at the carousel. These big Corvettes sound fantastic and clearly are supercars. They really do generate such a lot of mechanical and aerodynamic grip. I was just looking at how cleverly designed these cars are. Everything about them is thought out to the nth degree. Even the fact that the radiator fan on the cooler at the back of the car where the license plate would normally be is actually behind the radiator. So that is even sucking air out from underneath the car. I'm sure it's hardly anything, but it'll be something. Through the last part of the lap, and the time that we're looking for is a 59.6, the Brit Stefan Sarrazin's Aston Martin record from last year. The big V8 in front of Jan Magnussen pulls him up the hill, and as he goes across the line, now he's on a 201. So I'm afraid that hasn't gone. However, Jamie Merlot has already broken the GT2, 207.3. It was by Bergmeister, 207.2, good enough for a new qualifying record. But for Jamie Merlot, who's just 6/10 of a second ahead of Dirk Müller in the 31 Peterson White Lightning car. And then it's the second of the Ricci cars in third place, the 61 Gianmarina Bruni car. So it's three Ferraris and the top Porsche at the moment, Tom Milner Jr. Get down into the pit lane and find out about more Porsche matters. Here's Jeremy.
With the co-championship leader right now, Johannes van Overbeek, driving the number 45 Flying Lizards Porsche with Jörg Bergmeister, of course, qualifying the car, Johannes, but you've been quick this weekend.
Yeah, Jörg's the master here. At the beginning of the year, he said, I want to qualify at Road America, and guy's got more pulls here than a lot of people. So he likes this place. He's comfortable here. Flying Lizard crews put together a great car. Been consistently the fastest Porsche, although it's looking like not the fastest car in class.
No, it seems like certainly the Ferraris have been, I think it's fair to say, the cars to beat this season. The UF 430 Ferrari has been very, very quick. But York does have the record here, of course, and I think they've only gone about a tenth of a second quicker, have they, so far than last year's record. So is there more up York's sleeve at this stage?
Well, I hope we'll find out without any dents in the car. But I know he'll be giving it his all, and whatever turns out we got 4 hours tomorrow, and you know, a lot of pit stops and strategy and all the other things that go into finishing a race well. So tomorrow's a long day.
Well, that's right. You talk about all the other things going together to finish in a race well. That's exactly what's happened to you and your Bergmeister the last couple of races. You won both times, moved yourself into the championship lead, and that's as a result of the remarkable consistency you've shown this season, isn't it?
It's really a testament to the team. They've done just a great job. Thomas has made great calls on strategy. The pit stops have been executed perfectly, so we just need to maintain what we've been doing.
And the drivers have been doing a pretty good job as well, haven't they, John?
They certainly have, Jeremy. Certainly have indeed. Many people say, well, they've looked into a couple of those wins, but you know, you've got to be there. You've got to be there to take advantage of the slip-ups of the opposition. And there's no asterisk beside those results that says somebody fell off in front of me. It's a win's a win, I'm afraid. And speaking of people who have improved this weekend, how about this? Didier Thiers with Jan Magnussen leading GT1 for GM Chevy Corvette. No surprise that his teammate just 0.086 behind in the shape of Olivier Beretta. But Didier Thiers, on his first flying lap, is only 1.5 seconds back from provisional pole and 1.3 back from a front row start in GT1. A 202.4, the quickest that the 27 car has clocked all week so far. So Didier Thiers in the Lister MC12 Maserati. Oh, wow, that car really turns in sharply to turn number one underneath the bridge. Now, is he still pushing and trying to get another lap out of the Michelin tyres? You know, I think he might be. He was really late on the brakes there, taking a little bit of the curb on the left-hand side as he exited turn number three, the right-hander. And now the fastest part of the circuit where the Maserati, so slippery. What a great-looking car. Dark blue metallic. Got to get close to this car to really appreciate just the depth and the quality of the paintwork on that car. Slides a little bit wide coming out of five. Now heading up the bridge towards, heading up the hill towards the Toyota bridge. And out through seven, halfway around the lap, at least in corner numbers at this stage, as Dirk Müller gets a little bit closer to pole position. Jamie Merlo with a 207.1. I was just about to say 207.2, but he's improved. Müller, half a second behind, 207.7 for Dirk Müller. 7.191, 7.39. So 0.548 of a second between first and second. It's two Ferraris, and there's Gian Maria Bruni getting quicker as well. He's just a tenth away from Dirk Müller. Jörg Bergmeister in fourth position in the second of the Porsches. Tom Milner Jr. already back in the pit lane, Jamie.
That's right, John. Tom Milner Jr. back in the pit lane. Session has not been going on very long. What's going on out there?
Oh, nothing. Just got there, one of the first GT cars, GT2 cars at least, to go out there and just got a clear lap. And, you know, here it's a long lap here, and you can only abuse tires here, so we're just trying to conserve tires for the race.
What is your race strategy tomorrow?
Win. That's what it always is. No, I mean, we've been trying really hard these past couple races, and we just had some bad luck ever since Salt Lake, really. So, you know, just hoping for a clean race.
Who's going to start the car?
Not sure, honestly. I think, honestly, I couldn't even tell you right now. It goes back and forth so often that I'm not sure.
All right. They're pleased with their qualifying position, so they're going to sit and watch, John.
That's quite, you know, it's quite sensible. Just watching Jörg Bergmeister really pushing the envelope. Had the bridge still been there, he would have just run into it. If that makes any sense, he would have run into it on driver's right because he was well over the curbs. And he's dived into the pit lane. He didn't complete the lap. Must have had a split time that told him he wasn't up. Stuart Muller's riding the curbs on the exit of Canada Corner as well. Now through 13. And again, he would have been pretty close to the bridge abutments as well. As he comes round. And that was all four wheels over the curb and onto the runoff area, driver's left. Coming up the hill now. Here he comes just to my right. Oh, gosh, it's such a long way from that last corner. And does do a better time, but doesn't improve. 207.6, just now 0.418 of a second away from provisional pole position. Meantime, Didier Thiers charges on into the carousel in the Maserati. What a fantastic looking beast that is, and the weather is perfect for it. The sun is shining. Gian Maria Bruni goes through and doesn't improve as Jamie Merlo is into the pit lane. We're watching the Maserati on the far side of the circuit, now coming back towards us, of course, running down through Kettle Bottoms and towards kind of the corner. And just to remind you, if you're listening here on the PA, it's 88.3 FM or 454 even on your scanner. So that's 88.3 FM or 454 even. For those of you here at the track this weekend on the AmericanLeMans.com, of course, Sky Channel 0157 and 0157.org by Globecast, and of course, RadioLeMans.com. Oh, tremendous lap by Tate, 201.9. Now, just a second away from provisional pole position in GT1, and 9 tenths away from a spot on the front row. Now, wouldn't it be something if this Maserati could split the two Corvettes? Now, at the moment, I don't see any sign of the Corvettes on the track, Jamie. What are they doing?
John, both Corvettes are in pit lane. All four drivers are standing around pit lane. Nobody is in the car. The crew is practicing their pit stop. So if that Maserati does split them, they're going to have to hurry to get back out on track.
Welcome back to those of you here at the circuit with the news that Didier Tate has got within a second of provisional pole position in the Maserati MC12, the Lister number 27 car, on a 201.9. It's just 9 tenths away from a front row. Let's go down to the Maserati pit. Here is Jeremy Shaw
with the team manager here, Kevin Doran. And Kevin, that's a pretty good effort, first time out with this car.
Yeah, it's quite a great car, and it's always fun to run here with you guys.
Yeah, welcome back. It's been a while, isn't it?
It has been a while, yeah. I think 2003 maybe we won here at the at this 500, and it's good to be back.
Well, who made the decision? Well, presumably Freddie Leonhard made the decision to come here this weekend. But I know you've been excited about running this car, and it's certainly good to be back on a real racetrack like this as well.
Well, it's a fantastic track and a fantastic car, and of course, Lista is responsible for most of our good racing in the U.S., so wherever they want to go is where we show up.
That's right. Lista cabinets, of course, they're world leaders, really, in draw-modulated systems for tools and whatever else you want to do in storage ways, but certainly it's great to see this team back again. And you know, what's the plan now for the rest of this season, Kevin?
Well, it's not totally clear, but I think you'll see us with the Lista Maserati again in the Petit Le Mans and possibly in California at the end of the year.
Now, how much running have you done with this car in Europe?
This is the first race for the car for us. It was a brand-new car. We did a shakedown run here about a month ago, and so it's basically second or third day out.
You've got to be thrilled with the way it's running pretty much right out of the box.
It's a great car right from the factory. It's they've delivered quite a fast race car.
Yeah, they have indeed, and the team has done a super job preparing it and getting ready here. And certainly, as you said already, John Hindhoff, the very impressive laps. I know when Didier comes back in the pit lane, we'll have a chat with him. I think he's going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, he's a little bit slow that time around, but maybe just cooling his tyres and giving it a shot of another run. Normally down at 5, which he's heading down towards at the moment, is a good indicator of whether he's still pushing on. Let's see how much curb he uses on the exit. Oh, yes. Yes, there's certainly a sign of some intent. Under the Toyota bridge at 7. Now, he's on the power nice and early. It looks pretty neat and tidy, but that car is tremendously quick. It makes a phenomenal noise. I do. One of the great things about Road America is you can get round the track here and walk around and spend a little time at more than one corner, and with 4 hours tomorrow, that is something that I heartily encourage you all to do out there. He's actually shaving the grass as he turns in to the carousel on a very tight entry to the corner. There's two schools of thought about that: go in tight, drift out in the middle and then cut back, or stay out wide and then adjust your line in the middle of the corner, and then when you see the yellow and red curb on the right hand side, you can gas it up and get on the throttle in a GT car. Prototypes are flat all the way around. Changing gear in the middle, in fact, I was told yesterday. Different world with downforce, isn't it? 3:13 then comes to the Etais. Will he complete the lap? He kicks up a little bit of dirt as the right rear Michelin just drops off the edge of the Road America track, and he's sideways on the curb, getting on the power nice and early out of 14, coming up the hill now. Will the Maserati get between the two Corvettes? He needs to find 9 tenths of a second from his best. Oh, he's just shaved another couple of hundredths off that. He's down to 1.005 seconds away from the pole. And just about a tenth less than that. As the checkered flag is out, he's got one more lap if he wants it. The checkered flag was not out when Tase went by, but I think, yes, I think he's eased off looking at him going through three. So the checkered flag is out, and to me, Tase looks like he is cruising. So GT1 pole position will be Jan Magnussen for the number three GM Chevy Corvette racing with CompuAir. Their teammates will be in second position, Olivier Beretta, just 0.086 of a second. And then just another 0.9 behind in third place, a second away from a front row start, Didier Tase in the 27, Lister Maserati. Jan Magnussen, our pole sitter, is down with Jamie.
Jan, you're on the provisional pole in GT1. Is it more satisfying with another car out there this week?
Oh, absolutely. And really, you know, this qualifying now with all three cars within a second, I think it'll be a really good race. You know, John and I, obviously, I'm very happy to be on pole. We were on pole last race as well, but we didn't pass the tech afterwards, so we were disqualified. Kind of embarrassing. But this time, hopefully, we can keep it, and we'll have a good race from here. The Corvette's running really well. Both cars are, so it'll be a good race. I can't wait.
You have your family with you here this week. Does that make it more fun for you?
Absolutely. First time my son is with me, and just having a good time. And so far, the racing has gone really well. But other than that, I'm just really enjoying spending some time with him alone.
All right. Coming to the American Le Mans Series event is a whole fan experience. So I'm sure his son, as well as all the other kids, will have a great time, John.
Oh, yes. Plenty to see and do here at Road America, including a fairground at the bottom of the hill, as Didier Tase brings the Lister Maserati back in the long pit lane. In GT2, it's the fifth LMS career pole for Jamie Milo, and his third this year. Dirk Müller got within four tenths of a second, in fact, of pole position, but will start on the outside of the front row. Gian Maria Brini in third was another 0.2 further back, another 0.3, the first of the Porsches, the 45 Flying Lizard of Championship leader Jörg Bergmeister, Tom Milner another 0.5 back. Small gaps here, 0.5, couple of tenths. Then Tom Milner, after Tom Milner Jr., Joey Hand will not be happy with sixth position. And the two Tafel Racing cars down in seventh and eighth position, not qualifying, the Transport Racing Porsche, broken rear upright on the right-hand side for that car, kept them out of qualifying. We'll try and get a word with our GT2 pole sitter, Jamie Milo, in just a second with our team in the pit lane. I remind you, you're listening to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. I'm John Heindorf, live from Road America here at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. It's the Generac 500 this weekend. And let's have a word with the first of the Porsches. Fourth position outside of row two in GT2. Championship points leader, Jörg Bergmeister, couldn't work his magic today, Jeremy.
He couldn't indeed, Johnny. The good news is he's the quickest of the Porsches, but I know that is not satisfying for Jörg Bergmeister. You used to hold the track record here, Jörg. Not any longer, I'm afraid.
No, not anymore. I mean, obvious that the Ferraris are quite a bit quicker than us here. I mean, almost a second behind first. Pretty frustrating. I mean, we did our job. We're like half a second ahead of the next Porsche, which is pretty good, I'd say. But, I guess we have to work a little more.
But he only went, a couple of tenths quicker than your record from last year, and you're over a second slower than your record from last year. So this is a brand-new car, of course, this year. Why?
Yeah, with a 997, we have 100 kilos more on the car, and that really hurts us here. There are quite some downhill brake zones where you really feel the weight, and especially in qualifying, that hurts.
Indeed, but and you really feel the weight of that car, and you can feel where you're slower, and you know exactly where you're slower compared to last year's 996?
Yeah, definitely. It's mainly in the brake zone, for sure. Yeah.
And how is that going to be for the race? Is that going to be a problem, too, for longevity in terms of the race pace as well?
No, in the race pace, I mean, this morning the car was pretty good. We were second quickest there, and that was pretty much our race pace. So I hope it's going to be a little closer in the race.
You feel a lot more confident about tomorrow, therefore, than today, right?
Yeah.
He thinks. He hopes. So that's Jörg Bergmeister, number 45, Flying Lizard car. Fourth fastest overall in GT2, but they've won the last two races, and they certainly want to keep that streak going.
Yeah, and you wouldn't bet against them, Jeremy, would you? Not with Thomas Plum on the wall for the Flying Lizards. We've We mentioned it in practice earlier on that there's as much talent on and behind the wall as there is in the cars here in the American Le Mans series. And it's all about getting the pit calls right, getting the strategy right. And let's not forget, this is a four-hour race tomorrow for the Generac 500 here at Road America. This is not just the two-hour, 45-minute sprint. Although the cars will still be doing the same sort of speeds, there will be an element of getting those pit stops right. An extra pit stop for all of the GT cars. And tactics, I do feel, will play a part tomorrow. Now, not on the front row, not on pole position, but still smiling broadly as well he might, Didier Thiers out of the 27 Lister Maserati MC12, less than a second from a front row start and just on a second from pole position. I think he'd be pretty happy with that, Jeremy, won't he?
Well, yes, he's not the oldest driver here by any means, but he was making a comment to me just a moment or two ago that he's not the youngest driver here either. But Didier, you're certainly having as much fun as you've ever had in a racing car.
You know, I don't think the age matters. It's just, you know, when you enjoy to do what you do, you know. I enjoy to come here. It's a great racetrack. It's a great car, great team, great tires. I mean, what do you complain about? I mean, I feel very fortunate to still be competitive after 50 and... I mean, so far I enjoyed my weekend, and I think, when, like I said, when you enjoy it, you're competitive.
And it is a beautiful car, this Maserati MC12, and it's good to see it back here and finally taking on the Corvettes in GT1.
It's not only nice to look, but also nice to drive. And right now, I just wish we could test a couple of more days to be a bit more competitive. We just did 1.5 days 1 month ago. But I mean, so far we're in good shape, and with Freddie, we really enjoy driving the car. And We don't consider ourselves as a competition for the Corvette, but we try to be as close as possible.
Hey, you're not far away at all, judging by that qualifying run, Didier.
Well, I don't know if we can do that for 4 hours, then it will be good.
There you go. So Didier says on Freddie Leinhardt Day, we'll qualify the car third quickest. It might be third and last in GT1, but having a good time and doing a very good job as well for the first time back in the American Le Mans Series.
Yeah, hang on. Here's the press release from Lister. Lister qualified third, while the Corvettes qualified second and third from last in the class. How about that for a bit of spin? So that is the GT1 first, second and third. Now, we didn't get the 44 Flying Lizard out in that qualifying, or the 54 car. We know the 54 car, the transport car, had a right rear upright problem. We'll try and find out what happened to the 44 Lizard. Heather Peterson, from Nebraska is at Road America this weekend. Say hello from Alex. That's coming in studio at RadioLeMond.com. And Lynn and Cheryl Perry, who are regulars to the American Le Mans series. Good to know that you guys are listening in. Raise a very good point. We have mentioned this earlier on in the weekend here at the track. But Duncan Dick, not with us this weekend, had a nasty accident a couple of weeks ago at home. First thought it was a little bit more nasty than in fact it's turned out to be. He was talking to the team this morning, and by the way, Duncan, I'm sure we'll be listening somewhere. Duncan, our very best to you. I know you're probably not doing anything the doctors have told you to do or not to do, but that's in the nature of things. Get well soon and come back and see us. We've got a little present for you from Charles Dressing, which will be making its way back on the truck to the shop for you, which we hope will cheer you up, and our thanks to Charles for that. Duncan Dayton, not as bad as the first reports would have suggested. I've been told he's been down at the shop, sticking his nose in, making sure that everything's still going well. And you know what, Duncan, I wouldn't have expected anything different for you, mate. I hope you're feeling a lot better soon, and more importantly, that you're back at the track even sooner to give the team hell. Because frankly, they're just lazing about doing nothing this weekend without you there. Getting me into trouble. Okay. 23 people working on the car of the number 2 Audi under the tent. Parts on the ground is what we're being told at the moment. So that number 2 Audi, remember, which missed the last 15 to 20 minutes of the practice session, still being worked on. We've also got one of the Road America pace cars, the Toyota Solaris, has just lost its light bar, which we've just saved for it from the guys from the LMS safety crew. 88.3, 454 on your scanner. The other car that we missed in that session, Jeremy Shaw, the 44 Flying Lizards. What was the problem with that Porsche?
Nothing whatsoever, I'm happy to report.
Why didn't they go out and qualify then?
Well, they didn't go out and qualify because they didn't need to go out and qualify. Can you hear me?
Yes.
They didn't need to go out and qualify. The second driver in that car who's joining Seth Nyman in the car this weekend will be Darren Law. But as with Bill Oberlin, Darren is not here today. Therefore, the car will have to start from the back of the grid come what may. So they figure, well, why put any more miles on it? They're very happy with the way the car is handling. Why put any more miles on it? We'll park it, we'll bring it out tomorrow, and we'll have a great race.
Do you know, that's a very, very sensible thing to do. It also means they get a free choice of tyres tomorrow because they're going to be at the back anyway, so they can react to any changing conditions. And I'm told as well by the guys at Flying Lizards, if you are a fan of the Flying Lizards, as the green flag flies, I know there are many of you out there on the web, that they have recently started their online shopping, and any order of $65 or more will get a free T-shirt as well. Go to the Flying Lizard Motorsport site for more details on that. And if we're talking about merchandise, we should also mention here at the track that the American Le Mans Series trailer is on the main drag up the vendor rope towards the top of the paddock on the right as you're coming up the hill, and a fantastic array as ever of American Le Mans Series and team merchandise available there. Go see the guys and girls, and dig deep in your pockets and purses for some top quality ALMS merchandise here at Elkhart Lake. The checkered flag has been out for a minute and 28 seconds, and we're already out on the circuit with Audi, and it looks like one of the Dyson Porsches following it out as well. That's the first of the Penske cars, the second of the Dyson cars. Marino Franchitti out there as well. So already the big players have decided to go out nice and early with the P qualifying just getting underway. And still no news on that number two Audi. Gearbox problems was what we had. And in fact, even as I say that, there's no news. Jeremy says, no, there is news.
There is. I'm actually in the garage area here at Audi Sport North America. The car is being buttoned up as we speak. Marco Werner is sitting in the car at the moment. It's up on a wheel stand and everything else. And there's a lot of work going on. There's Emmanuel Ferrer. Let me have a word with him. So, they have changed the gearbox on the car. And no, he's looking a bit busy there. He's talking with Marco Werner. The two drivers conferring there as the car is up on the wheel stands. But they have changed the gearbox on that number two car, and it should be ready to go within a few minutes.
Right, well, that car has then... That's taken the better part of an hour to change that gearbox.
What they wanted to do.
Sorry, Jeremy, say again?
I was trying to decide what they wanted to do.
Yes. Stretching our technology back there in the paddock. Now, Alan McNish is the first to start his flying lap in the TDI Audi V12, 5.5 litre. Down towards turn three. Torque is your friend, as Chuck Dressing always reminds us. And McNish, with a clear track ahead of him, has the absolute optimum conditions for this Audi. Built for wide open tracks, built for 8.5 miles in the centre of France. So 4 miles in the centre of America will do very nicely, thank you very much indeed. And the engineers, as well as the drivers at Audi, must be absolutely delighted to see long straights and fast curves after the little bull rings that we've had since coming back from Le Mans at the end of June. Lime Rock and Mid-Ohio, not really built for this Leviathan of sports car racing. The whispering silver giant through the carousel, absolutely flat chat, first flying lap down towards the kink. No hint of a lift there by McNish as he disappears down towards Canada Corner. This very long run to Canada Corner, deceptive when you see it on the track map and on television. When you're driving it, it seems a lot further down. McNish just having a little trouble getting the nose of that Audi turned in, and this Audi suffering from some of the same traits as its predecessor. The R8 did take a little time to warm up its front Michelin tyres, and it seems the R10 is exactly the same across the line. In just a moment, I'll look to my right, I won't hear him, but there he goes. Oh, 148.8 for the first out of the box. Well, That's a big bet that he's just put down. If this was a poker game, everyone else would be folding right now. 153, 152 for everyone else on their opening laps. There's Marino Franchitti goes through a 51-4. Fastest of the P2 cars opening gambit. But McNish with a 48-8 has blitzed the lap record by over 3/10 of a second. John Field on a 55 down in 7th position. Luis Diaz in 6th on a 53-7. 53-3 for Wallace in the 16 Porsche in 5th. 4th is Ryan Briscoe for the DHL Penske Porsche, number 6 car. Then it's Guy Smith qualifying the 20 car, the Dyson Porsche. He's on a 52 even and a 51.5 for Marino Franchitti, but he's 2.6 seconds away from Alan McNish, who hasn't just thrown down the gauntlet. He's kicked it out of the plane at about 40,000 feet, hasn't he? That's a remarkable time, easily the quickest we've seen this week. And I'll remind you, that was his first flying lap, albeit there's a long warm-up lap here at 4.05 miles, 4.048 for dependents among you. Craig Pickett qualifying the 06 Citroën Sport car in 9th place with a 57.7, just quick as that car's gone this weekend, and he'll be happy with that in the Muscle Milk sponsored machine. But McNish's time is just outstanding. Now, we've got a group photograph going on up on the top of the driving and scoring stuff. 49.1 is the... Oh, it's 51.1, yes, sorry. The not quite a... Doug Verner's alongside me. One of the... our competitors. As McNish goes through on a 47.8. Well, 297 kilometres an hour down the straight is what we're being told. Ryan Briscoe now bumps Franchitti down to third with a 49.3. There goes the P2 lap record, which Marino had broken by over or about a second on a 50.1. Marino, no slouch down the straight, touching almost 180 miles an hour before breaking into turn 5. Gets on the throttle so early, does Marino. Heading back up the hill to 7. Going like a train at the moment. Jamie back improves to 7th position on a 52.8. Only Mike Lewis in the number 12 Autocon car over 2 minutes from the prototype categories at the moment. Yes, that's right, because John Field is... got a 54-1 to his name. So McNish, not content with that opening gambit, then takes it down to a 47.8 and blitzes his own lap record. That's going to be like 135 mile an hour average. That's tremendous, isn't it? But diesels, of course, are big, clattery, noisy, smoky, slow things. Not in Audi world, quite clearly. No smoke, no noise, lots of torque, lots of power. The Audi TDI 5.5-litre V12 to be installed in the Q7 and the A8 before too long. I'm told 600 horsepower for a street car as McNish pulls in along pit lane. At least for the moment, he feels he's done enough. There goes Franchitti, doesn't improve. Guy Smith does, though, up to 4th position. Audi from Porsche, from Acura, from Porsche, from Acura. As Luis Diaz drops into 5th position. And after the 1.4 second gap between Ryan Briscoe and Alan McNish, actually quite tight, 7/10 back to Franchitti in 2nd, 9/10 back to Guy Smith in 3rd, then just another 2.5 tenths or thereabouts to Luis Diaz in 5th position. Fernandez Racing having a cracking first season, Jeremy.
Yes, indeed, and there's certainly been an up and down season for them. I think there's no doubt about that. They've been very competitive on some tracks and not so competitive on others. Coming off the podium finish last time out at Mid-Ohio and really looking forward to coming here this weekend. This morning, they were suffering from a bit of oversteer on that Lowe's car, the the Lola chassis, of course, with that Acura engine. This afternoon, he made some changes to the setup. Much happier with the car in that last practice session, although they didn't really get to show the lap time because every lap he tried to go out there, he hit some traffic of some sort. But certainly Luis Diaz was a lot happier with that car in that session. And I think it's showing now in this qualifying period.
Jim Kirsty emails us, studio@radiolemon.com. I've driven hundreds of miles at Road America on my computer in an old Champ car game in a Reynard Cosworth. My best lap was a 45.2. I love the fact that the track is so fast. No chicanes. I'm sure the Audis are at least as fast as my 11-year-old Champ car. Keep up the good work. And he says, make sure you sample some of the fabulous local beers.
And
Bratz as well, of course. Well, I'm staying at Sheboygan, home of the Bratz. Oh, yes, absolutely. Jim's going to be at PLM, Petit Le Mans with us. As through goes Andy Wallace and improves. Rick Grinke from Champion Racing. To see you at PLM. Great to hear you live. I'm undergoing withdrawal, not having Midweek Motorsports on podcast. Working on that at the moment. Tim, who's our one-man IT department, has been up to his eyes at the moment, and we'll do a bit of a catch-up with Midweek Motorsport for fans of that show in the next week or so. I know that there's two or three still to go up on the podcast, including this week, where we had Robert Dornbos on the show, and he was a tremendous guest, actually. We spent so much time with him, he gave willingly of his time that we had to drop a couple of things out of the show. Next week, we'll be talking about Brands Hatch touring cars and more of the usual irreverent look at Formula One, as well as the rest of motorsport news. We've got the news in Spanish, of course, and Tim threatens to bring Call My Hoof back for a last hurrah as well. That's on Midweek Motorsport, 8 o'clock in the UK, on the internet as well, of course. With the repeats at 2 a.m. and 10 a.m. the following morning, for those of you on different time zones. Now, Diaz has stayed out. No, he's come in. So that means that is David Brabham, who is still out there in fourth position. So things have shuffled around again. McNish by 1.4 seconds. Dumas now only has 0.4 of a second between himself and his teammate Ryan Briscoe. So 1.67 and 9. So David Brabham now the quickest of the Acuras, just a tenth and a half ahead of Marino Franchitti in the 26XM satellite radio car. I have a little feeling that Marino might have another dash at this. Guy Smith, however, behind the two Acuras. So it's only the semi-works Penske cars that are ahead of the two Acuras. Guy Smith, the best of the Dyson cars, and he's just gone through and improved, but didn't improve his position. Diaz down in 7th place with a 51.2. He's actually not that far off last year's lap record. Guy Smith's broken the lap record from last year by half a second and is only 5th in class. That's progress. That's the American Le Mans series. As John Field peels into the pit lane just off to my right, and it looks like McNish is back out again. Still no sign of the number 2 car. No, it's out on the track, in fact. It has gone out again, and in fact, it's just making its way down to turn number 5. As I say that, we get an onboard shot on the TV monitors. Our thanks to Wheeler TV, who are working again with us this weekend. NBC is the network for the American Le Mans Series this weekend, and that will be on tape delay tomorrow. Motors TV Monday evening, I believe, for highlights of the Generac 500. The only place that you can get live coverage is right here on the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. And off into the gravel at Hurry Downs is Marino Franchitti. So we thought he might have a little tilt at it. He has done. Slightly overcooked it going in to the final left-hander before the carousel. The 26 car is dusty but unharmed. Looks like he may have taken an inside marker post with him. Didn't see the beginning of that, only the dust cloud that was the end. Now, let's have a look at the car. Does it look in one piece? Yes, it does. Well, we're going to get an onboard. So it comes through the right-hander, down two turns in, and the back end. Oh, that was very nasty. Very nasty indeed. Turned in and got the car turned in. And in the middle of the corner, a big wiggle from the car, and it swapped ends very quickly indeed. Marino having the sense to drive the car backwards away from the gravel. I think we'll see him in the pit lane. We've got 5.5 minutes left not sure he'll get another go from there, but a fifth position overall, fourth in class, not too bad for Marino's first qualifying outing. And of course, he has broken the existing lap record, as in comes Luis Diaz, seventh position overall, sixth in class, and still no competitive time from the number two Audi. That car out on the circuit at the moment. And see if we can pick him up out there on the in-car and see where he is. Well, he's just heading down, hurried down, in fact, down towards the carousel. And it is, I think we said it was Marc Laverna in the car. Emmanuel Pirro was the man who pulled it off the circuit earlier on. So coming out of the carousel now, here is number two Audi heading down towards the kink. Effortlessly flat. That's just remarkable, isn't it? How much downforce and grip these cars actually create. Let's have a quick word with Jamie, who's down in the Andretti Green Racing pit. Any damage on that XM satellite radio Acura?
It doesn't look like, John. The team has the car up on the jacks. They're looking underneath it. It just looks a little bit dirty. I don't see damage on it. All three of the Acura machines are now in pit lane, so it looks like since you've got it.
As far as P2 is concerned, absolutely. And across the line goes the Audi to start another flying lap. And Werner puts in a 48.7, so that's very comparable with McNish's first flying lap. Magic Marco does it again, and he'll get another one at least. Maybe another two if he wants it, as Romain Dumas improves his time. 1:48.8 for the fastest P2 time. And, well, McNish had parked early on, but I think I saw a quick flash of the number one car, Jeremy.
Yes, you did indeed, and I saw the car go out there, so I went and had a quick word with Dindo Capello, his co-driver. I said, Dindo, why is Alan back out there? He's got a handy margin over everybody else, and he looked to me and he sort of shrugged his shoulders as if to say, because he's having fun out there. Plus, of course, it's just in case Marco Werner turns some blinding lap and knocks Alan McNish off the pole, that Alan is out there so he can respond, perhaps, if it's needed.
Huge sideways moment by Marco Werner coming out of five. Right, all four wheels onto the dark rumble strips on driver's right. Had to drag the car back to the left to avoid him going off the circuit, and he was clearly hard on the power when he did that. The car fishtailing right and left, but caught expertly by Marco Werner. Reflexes of a cat. Remember, very hard to hear the Audi's wheels spinning up because the engine is so quiet you can't hear the engine revs rise. So they've actually got wheel spin lights on the steering wheel, blue lights, which shows the driver, gives them a visual interpretation of the back wheels actually losing traction. When you've got so much torque, that's very, very easily done. Greg Pickett improves again, 12th position, 155.2 for the Citroën Sport car, as Marco Werner is a second away from McNish. He's now only 3.5 tenths. McNish has gone through on a 47.6, 48.0 by Werner, and he's got another lap. McNish probably will not get another one, so the one that McNish is on is going to be his final. Oh, big slide by Werner coming through three. Actually took his right hand off the wheel. The car snatched round so quickly. I think trying to change up at the time, and the car flicked sideways violently. So this big Audi being thrown around, well, almost like a P2 car by Marco Werner. And again, he lights up the Michelin as he comes out of five. Oh, and he's overdone it that time, and he's going to lose it, is he? Oh, he holds onto it at six under the Toyota bridge. Turned the car, and he was just going way too fast, carrying so much momentum. The whole car drifting sideways, almost in slow motion. And yet, Werner gets it back. Now, McNish further round the lap, indeed coming onto the last corner, just goes over the bump on the new tarmac where the new tunnel is underneath. Ryan Briscoe's just in a 49.1. He cements his fourth position at the moment. 47.6 for McNish. Is there any more in the tank? No, there's not. He's listed. It was a 52.2. But he's got through before the checkered flags come out. So McNish has one more chance to improve his own now lap record, 47.6. I wonder if the team will tell him that Marco has made a bit of a Horlicks of his fast lap as McNish runs both Michelins on the left-hand side of his car off the side of the dirt and three. There goes Greg Pickett again, another improvement. Steady stuff for Greg. Here's Werner, and I think he'll peel off and go into the pit lane. Yes, he has. Let's have a quick word with Marino Franchitti. He's going to... his car sitting in sixth position at the moment and fourth in class. Jamie.
Marino, you were doing well out there. What happened on that last lap?
I was trying to do better than well and just pushing too hard and lost the rear. You know, had a little bit of a long pedal and it caught me out, but I was trying to get more out of the car than was there, you know. Just thought, let's see what we got, and we didn't quite have enough. But, you know, we're okay. It'd be nice to be in front of the Highcroft car or a little bit closer to it, but, you know, we're just doing our own thing. It feels like we got a really good race car, consistent race car. It was good in traffic this morning. And tomorrow is when they give the points out, so hopefully we can get up in the top three tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Now we will go down to the Audi pit in just a second as the number two cars come to a halt. Alan McNish is about to round the final corner. I just want to see if he continues on. Oh, he's rattled through turn 13 there and right across to the far side of the road. He's not coming into the pit. He's heading for another quick one. All four wheels of a very wide Audi over to driver's left of the curb. He was right off the track there. He comes across the line. He gets the checkered flag. 47.665 on his final lap. A new lap record by something in the region of 2 seconds. Second and three quarters anyway. Tremendous stuff by Alan McNish. And that means that his gap to Marco Werner in second place is almost 0.4 of a second. But more importantly, I think, Jeremy, down there in the Audi pit, that the first of the Porsches is another 7/8 behind, over 1 second away from pole position. Is this the turn of the tide for Audi?
Well, I think it's certainly extremely good. It's the first time in a long time we've seen both Audis on the front row of the grid. They've been eclipsed by the P2 cars in most of the recent races. I tell you what, Emanuele Pirro, who drives with Marco Werner, was watching up at the timing stand, and when Marco was on his way into the pit lane, Emanuele got off the timing stand, and he went round and shook everybody's hand on this team, absolutely everybody, including Marco Werner, as soon as he got in the car. Marco, that was a great effort by you. You had very little practice times, and you've got to be delighted with that lap time.
Yeah, I didn't just free practice before the qualifying, so that is not... good performance in front of the qualifying, but at first I have to say thank you to the whole team, the Audi and champion team, because they did a great job. They changed the gearbox. We had a little bit of problem, so we saw something with the temperature in the practice before where Emanuele was in the car, so and it was the only way to change the gearbox and be safe, because if you damage this, you never know what's happened there in the gearbox. And so this is the only right way. And of course, yeah, I missed the practice before. That is not good for the qualifying, and I had just 3 laps. And I'm really happy. I came really close to Alan, but I never know what is coming in front of me, because you never know what is the car doing when you never drove the setup like this. And so we have to be happy we're in the first row. It's a good result for Audi, and that's the point.
It looks like you're having to try pretty hard out there, Marco. That car was at all sorts of angles.
Yeah, of course. I tried in the last lap a little bit too much, so I missed the entry in turn 6 or 7. And, of course, that's the way what you have to do. You have to try everything and fighting hard.
That's what we call it, magic, Marco Werner. Congratulations, Marco.
Thank you.
And Emanuele Pirro, just that was classy of you to go around and say, you said thanks to absolutely everybody on this team, but that was a great team effort to get that car onto the front row.
Well, let me give you the Italian version. Marco is German. He's very cool and very modest. I have to say he's been a hero together with all the guys who fixed the car. We had the gearbox issue. They have to take apart the whole gearbox. Really, nobody else but our mechanics could make this job today and fix the car for the last 2 laps of qualifying. Marco could not drive the car in the morning, and these were his first laps of the day. So, I mean, he didn't want to tell himself, but I'm telling you, he's done a great job. And to be front row with the car, which has been put together so quickly, is just fantastic. So we will be looking to a great race. Hopefully you guys, you won't be that hot. I mean, it's really tough, but, you know, we appreciate you guys being here. You're suffering, but we're suffering too. So, you know, one for all for one.
Fantastic job there by this number two car. But it is the number one he'll start from the pole. Alan McNish is just out of the car and taking off his helmet. Quick word from you, John, and then I'll have a word with Alan McNish.
Yeah, a reminder that the only place you can hear the Generac 500 tomorrow live is here on the American Le Mans Series radio network. NBC have a couple of hours of highlights, and that will be the same show that you'll see on Motors TV on Monday night, NBC on Sunday on tape delay. So if you want the fastest news first and free, then it's here on the American Le Mans Series radio network. Let's go back down to the Audi pit. Alan McNish, it's been a while since he's had a big smile on his face, but surely now, Jeremy, surely he's got to be a happy Scotsman.
He is a very happy Scotsman. Alan McNish, a whole string of super quick laps there.
Yeah, we worked on the car quite hard. The engineers did a very good job between the first and the second session. And I think we were, I would say, on the right sweet spot at the right time. It's unfortunate the sister car had a problem, but they got out and got a couple of good laps when the tyre was at its best. So all in all, I think we can be happy with the front row.
You should be, sir. I thought you did a very good lap time early on. You came in, you sat in the pit for a while, and I thought you really, it was a surprise to me to see you going back out there again.
Yeah, there's a point of, I think, of pride for the team as well, because we've had a few races where we've really had a hard time with the circuits and the car and everything else. But I think around here, when we knew we could be competitive, we had to take advantage of it. And so from that point of view, you know, we sort of threw the gauntlet down a little bit.
And a stunning lap time, well inside the old track record as well. It's got to be satisfying.
Yeah, there's been a lot of development there since TDI. The diesel power is obviously developed from when we were here last year and when it was very fresh. And, you know, that's, I think, probably, like in Le Mans, it's one of these circuits that does suit us, and it's also one of these places where we can see the advantage of the development we do.
Super job, Alan.
Thank you.
Alan McNish then will start the Generac 500 on pole position with a new track record, over a second and a half inside his own mark set here last year in the, in fact, that very car, the R10 TDI, might well have been that, even that chassis, because they are the 06 cars. We haven't just seen Bar Sebring, we haven't seen the 07 cars at the American Le Mans Series yet this year. Marco Werner will start alongside him, 3/10 of a second back, 147.6, 148 even. Romain Dumas sets a new best in qualifying for the P2 category. A 148.8 is in fact 3/10 of a second under last year's LMP1 lap record. And as opposed to a 151.1, which the Penske Porsches had last year, you'll see the improvement there as well. And Ryan Briscoe, his teammate, alongside him, on the second row, ahead of two of the Acuras. David Brabham, the quickest in the 9 Highcroft car, ahead of Marino Franchitti. So Audi, Porsche, Acura, certain sense of symmetry on the first three rows. Let's have a word with our P2 pole sitter, starting from the inside of row two, Romain Dumas.
Yeah, Romain Dumas, a super effort, and it's your second pole of the year, Romain, and probably your most satisfying, because it's a great racetrack.
Yeah, for sure, it's a great place here, good fun. It was not easy on the qualify because my first three lap was all the time on traffic, so I was not so convinced to be on pole. But my lap number four was a good one without any mistake. So perfect one, not more than the limit, but just on the limit, that was enough.
It's been a fun season already. You won lots of races. You've been winning races overall. I think perhaps you're going to struggle to win the overall race against the Audis this weekend.
Well, I mean, up to now, we have a great second line for Penske. We again try to win the class, and after we see for the rest. For sure, here the straights are a little bit too long for us. But anyway, make a good show. It's good that possible all the team also can win overall. That's a part of the race, and we want that. And we will see at the end of the 4-hour mark.
Congratulations, man. Well done. And Jamie Howe is with David Brabham.
David Brabham, you're the quickest of the three Acuras. What's it going to take to get around the Penske Porsches tomorrow?
Well, they're tough, aren't they? Well, first of all, we're very pleased with the progress we made. I mean, we were miles off yesterday. We were like 9 and 2.5 seconds off the Penske. So, yeah, full credit to the Highcroft team. They've just done a fantastic job to give me a really good, a really good race car. It turned out to be a pretty good qualifying car, too. The Michelin tyres, you know, I mean, once we got the setup right, they really, really got into it. And you can always tell when the tyre's right for the race, and that's what it feels like. So, you know, congratulations to Acura and everything. I mean, we made good progress.
Is it tough not having Duncan Dayton around this weekend?
It is. I mean, the heart and soul of the team is not here, which is really a shame. And we really notice it, certainly here on the pit wall, because he has a great influence on everyone around us. And it's a shame he's not here. And, you know, obviously we all hope that he gets better soon so he can join the fun again.
All right. Well, good luck tomorrow and congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, we'll let Jamie and Jeremy disappear now. Jamie has some duties with TV for Star Mazda, which is next out here on the circuit. That's just about it from our coverage of the American Le Mans Series qualifying. Alan McNish, Romain Dumas, Jan Magnussen and Jamie Milo are your pole sitters. And as we thought, three out of four of the lap records went. The GT1 lap records stand from last year, so Aston Martin still hold the GT1 lap record here in the shape of Stefan Sarrazin. We'll be back tomorrow for warm-up and then, of course, the build-up and all of the Generac 500, 4 hours of racing around the 4 miles of Road America here at Elkhart Lake. And the only place you can hear it all live is on the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. For those of you at the track, enjoy the rest of your evening. There's plenty of fan activities, including tonight at 5 o'clock, our fan forum down at the bottom of the hill. Join me for that. It's always a great event. In the meantime, on behalf of Jamie Howe and Jeremy Shaw, Bubba Clark was our technician at this end, and all of the sterling efforts of Tim Gray, Carl Landsbert and the technical team back in London to make sure that we were on the World Wide Web and the satellite today. I'm John Hindhoff for the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. Ed Conway is next here at Road America.